Manhood Talks, week 3, day 4. Men, are you ready? This is it, Ephesians 4, the turning point. This is where we separate the men from the boys. It's time to walk. Ephesians 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Your translation might say, live a life worthy. The word is walk, but Paul is talking about nothing less than your life. Your walk means your footsteps in this world, what you do, how you work, how you treat people, everything. Walk worthy. Remember the castle. Remember how the king chose you, and you got this amazing tour of the whole castle, and you find out that you are forgiven, redeemed, and so loved. That is your identity. That is who you are, a chosen and adopted son of the living God, an heir. And remember how it's all grace. By faith, we see it now. By faith, we understand our identity in Christ. And remember how I said, identity, then integrity, learn who you are, then live it out. Well, this is the integrity part. You know who you are. Now, time to live it. So walk worthy. The way you live should show the worth, the value of God's calling, not the price you paid. Honor what Jesus paid for it. This is what drives you. This is your reason why. So how do we walk worthy? The rest of the letter spells it out. It begins with humility. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. The very first step is to recognize that you don't even deserve that step. I love humility. Humble people are so great. No pretense, no arrogance, just real. Humility is not low self-image. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's putting others first because God already put you first. And be patient, like he was patient with you. And in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. God saved us for unity. We are one. The key to unity is humility. Pride divides, humility unites. That's what Jesus bought for us. Since we don't earn, we don't have to compete. Since we're forgiven, we can forgive. Be one, because we are one. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is only one. See, identity isn't just about figuring out who you are as an individual. It's who we are. You are part of us. And in Christ, we are one. But we are not the same. Thanks, Bono. In verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That means that we all have different gifts. One family, many giftings. One church, many callings. Unity with diversity. And that is a beautiful thing. But notice, your talent and calling is still grace. You still don't deserve it. You might be a leader, but that doesn't make you better or more valuable. God's gift is not to you, it's through you. Use it for others. In verse 11, Paul describes the leadership roles in the church, but notice their purpose, to equip people for works of service. So the purpose of leaders is to equip, to help us all get to work. Remember, we aren't saved by good works, but we are saved so that we can work. Amazing works, works that he prepared for us. Church is not a spectator sport. It is full participation. And Sunday service is not the game. It's just the huddle. It's where you circle up with your QB and get ready to play. And back in verse 12, those leaders equip us so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So good leadership helps unite us, diverse giftings working together in humility to build each other up. Unity. That's what Jesus died for. And verse 13 says it also helps us to become mature, grow up in your faith, and as a church, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then verse 17 reminds us how not to walk. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. You are changed. You can't walk the old walk like your old friends do. You've had the tour of the castle now. Your home is heaven. And now, as you walk back into the world, you can't live the old life that you used to live. You are changed. That doesn't mean that you look down on anyone, and it doesn't mean you tell them what to do. Remember, we were they, and we did not earn our way out. So no arrogance. It does mean you got to change. You walk different. You have hope. Stop living hopeless. You have light. Stop stumbling in the dark. You have truth. Stop believing lies. You have life. Stop living like you're dead. They walk in darkness. They live for sensuality, dirt, and greed. But not you, not anymore. Paul says, put off your old self and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is, remade in his image. Paul lays out 5 big changes for the new you. 1, put off falsehood. The old you lied for breakfast. The new you lives truth and speaks truth. 2, get angry, but don't sin. The old you, anger made you sin, but the new you can handle it. 3, don't steal. The old you took what he wanted. The new works for it, does something useful, and even shares with others. 4, no unwholesome talk. The old you cussed like a teenage boy. Dirty jokes were second nature, and put-downs never stopped. But the new you has a different heart, and a different heart speaks different words. Build people up with your words. Don't get mad when someone else cusses. Let it go. But watch your words. They matter now. And 5, no more bitterness, rage, anger, slander, or malice. That means change the way you feel and think toward others. Let go of all the negative. The new you is kind and compassionate, forgiving, just as in Christ God forgave you. In other words, walk worthy. Read Ephesians 4, and in your journal, I want you to write the words, walk worthy, then describe what you think that should look like in your life. And I'll see you in chapter 5.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.